And but would you just agree with me in prayer this morning? I assure you, I have something for you this morning. Amen. Father, I thank you, Lord. I come to you, and I don't know if y'all can turn me down just a little bit. I hear ringing a little bit over here on this end, but Father, I come to you, Lord, as I always do, and pray and ask, Lord, Father, cause my words, to my tongue, to be as a pen of a ready writer this morning. Cause my words to be as apples of gold in silver baskets. And Father, I thank you for a word in season for him or her that's weary this morning. I thank you that you delight to hear and you delight to answer. You delight to meet. Father, you reward the reacher, the reacher. And Father, we reach and draw near to you this morning. We believe you for a word this morning and to do things in our lives, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. I want to talk to you this morning about the greatest mountain. And if you would turn with me, I'm not going to do a bunch of preliminary talking, which I can do. And if you don't believe that, just ask my wife and she will tell you. And but I want to get right into this and give you some stuff that's going to help you this morning, because I came to give you something. I didn't come to get in over here to get anything from you. I didn't. I came to give something to you. I don't need, you know, I don't go anywhere to get something from people. I go to bring them something. Amen. I want to help you come up to another place in your life. Victory is probably, if not my favorite, one of my favorite words. Now, my favorite name is Jesus. My second favorite name is Laura. But my favorite name is Jesus. But one of my favorite words is victory. It means to overcome. It means to win. It means to prevail. And there's so many times in life I look around and I see Christians not winning. Christians. I see them not prevailing, not overcoming. And so many times in my life, in the past, I knew victory was supposed to belong to me, but I wasn't really prevailing. I wasn't overcoming. But thank God that can change. Amen. Oh, now we got the right reverend coming in the building over here. Glory to God. She come to keep him at bay, make him behave. Hallelujah. Turn with me, if you would, or they'll put it on the screen, I believe. Mark chapter 11. Verse 22, we'll start. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. How many of y'all ever heard this passage before? Some of you say, oh, many times, heard sermons on it, don't need another one. That's good, that's not what I'm preaching about this morning. Now I'm preaching about the greatest mountain. And everybody, when they hear that, thinks about these scriptures. And this is dealing with external mountains, which we all have to deal with. And so there's always going to be, you may overcome one external mountain. Now, I want to tell you, preface right now, I'm not saying that we don't need to speak to mountains in our lives, because we do. In fact, so many people are talking about the mountains that they're facing. Come on now. But they're not speaking to the mountain. David said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. I think most Christians read that wrong. They say, oh, magnify the problems with me. Come on. Because you talk to people. Now, look, I tell, you know, it seems like, you know, Christians have two capes that they keep with them all the time. And, you know, like Superman. And they both have an F on them. Now, don't get nervous, all right? They both have an F on them. And they pull up at the church and they're arguing with their family on the way to church and they're grabbing and they pull in the parking lot on two wheels and slide in there. And then they take that cape off that's got the F on it. It's flesh man and flesh woman. They pull in the parking lot in the parking spot and they look around and they change capes like Superman did in the phone booth and they Get out and it's faith man and faith woman. Hey, how are you, brother? I'm blessed and highly favored. Come on now. What you laughing for? You been there. I was watching. No, I've been there too many times. I said too many times. Supposed to have victory, but just living this double life like you're a secret agent. Amen. No, but we ought to have victory. We need to come to the place where that's not the case anymore, where the faith cape just stays on there. We're abiding. We're abiding. And so, yes, we need to speak to these external mountains because they're always going to, you can overcome and walk and one external mountain, get out of the way, and guess what? Here comes another one down the road. It may be a couple of minutes, it may be a couple of days, it may be a couple of months, but it's coming. It's coming. Always me with these mountains. So he's talking about these external mountains, but there's a greater mountain. Let me tell you something. The greatest mountain that you'll ever face is not a financial crisis. I don't care how bad the financial crisis may be, and there's been some bad ones along the way, right? The greatest mountain that you'll ever face is not a sickness or disease, and it can be a very great crisis, especially when it's a loved one and you're dealing with it. But it's still not the greatest mountain that you'll ever face. The greatest mountain that you'll ever face is not your boss that you love so well. The greatest mountain that you'll ever face is not your old wayward, rebellious, stubborn brat children. Hello! And the greatest mountain that you'll ever face is not your spouse. Not your stubborn brat spouse. Somebody said, oh, you just don't know my spouse. That's the greatest mountain. No, it's not. The greatest mountain that you'll ever face is the mountain that I like to call Mount Me, Myself, and I. That's the greatest mountain that you'll ever face. It's the greatest mountain that you'll have to deal with in your life. And that mountain is always hanging around. No matter what comes and goes with these other mountains, Mount Me, Myself, and I is always lurking in the shadows, trying to zap the life out of you, trying to zap the victory out of your life. You know, in Genesis, the Lord told, and I'll go over this a little bit, but the Lord told Cain, when Cain, you know, before he killed Abel, he said, sin crouches at your door, and it desires you. It desires you. Mount Me, Myself, and I is always crouching, desiring to snuff the life out of you, desiring to snuff the victory away from you. And so the greatest mountain that we'll ever face is Mount Me, Myself, and I. It's the mountain of your will. It's the mountain of the carnal nature of your and my flesh. It's the mountain of our unrenewed mind. Instead of magnifying the Lord and His Word, we're magnifying the problem, the external forces that come against us. And there's always a struggle going on there, isn't it? But I want you to look at something here. We read this in verse 22 through 24, and most people, oh yeah, glory, we like this and want to speak to that mountain. We want to move that mountain. Glory to God, we're going to move that. I'm trying to stay in my confines, he told me, you know, because I like to get out, walk around. I like to look in your eye, you know what I'm saying? Hey, man, but I'm going to try to be good up here this morning, and you know. So, yeah, we like to talk about, let's speak to that mountain. I'm from South Louisiana. We live in Oklahoma now, but I'm from South Louisiana, my wife and I both. And, you know, we deal with hurricanes. In fact, you were wondering what we were up at Rhema that time for. We were in evacuation mode from Hurricane Laura, I believe it was, yeah. And so we were up there, and we evacuated, and we'd go eat some Brahms ice cream in Tulsa and get away from the hurricane, you know. But when the hurricanes are coming, you know, it's funny because people will start speaking to the hurricane. I command this thing to go to the east. And then you got a group that says, I speak to this thing to go to the west. And they're speaking to that hurricane. And they're real faith people, you know, glory to God. And I'm thinking, well, what about them poor folks on the east of you? What about them poor folks to the west of you? Well, we'll pray for them. They'll have a quick recovery afterwards. Come on now. Christians can be the silliest bunch of folk, and spirit-filled, full gospel, word of faith can be the goofiest, silliest bunch of folk you ever seen sometime. I like to call them granola sometime. You know what granola is? It's nuts and flakes and fruit sometime. And sometimes Christians can just be nutty and flaky and fruity, just a bunch of granolas. Hello. Now you make me curious because you're laughing. I see what I'm dealing with up in here. I can hit you and run. I can go back south, you know. But no, it's this old Mount Me, Myself, and I. But look here in verse, he talks about speaking to that mountain. But look what he says in verse 25. I know you're familiar with this too, but he says, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you of your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, verse 26, neither will your heavenly Father or your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you of your trespasses. Now, he's talking to them about speaking to these external mountains, but then when he gets through talking about that external mountain, he goes right in here and he talks about Mount Me, Myself, and I. Because if you don't take care of Mount Me, Myself, and I, you're not going to be able to do this other stuff. Now, who was he talking to here? Now, most Christians would say, he's talking to us. It's in the Bible. So, yeah, but who specifically was with him when he was, who was he telling this to? Who was with him? You know who was with him? 12 disciples were with him. Because if you'll read the passages before, they had come from a place and it said that him and the 12. And they came with him. And you remember he's talking to them because they saw he had spoke to the fig tree to die and wither. And they're walking along and they see it. Master, the tree's withered. And he starts to talk to them. Yeah, you can do this too. But then in verse 25, he says, hey, but you got to deal with Mount Me, Myself, and I first. Who was with him? Peter was with him. You remember that? Peter, the rock. Glory to God. Yeah, and you remember, I don't ever see in the Word Peter speaking to a mountain. Now, he may have, but I don't. It's not recorded in the Bible that I know of. But we do see Peter dealing with Mount Me, Myself, and I. You remember he said, Lord, though all fall away from you, I'll not fall away. Boasting, boy. I'm with you, Jesus. Jesus said, he said, I'll not deny it. Jesus said, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. Mount Me, Myself, and I. Who else was with him here? James and John, the sons of thunder, were with him. Glory to God. James and John. And you remember, I don't see anything about them calling mountains and throwing them into the sea. And so, I mean, they may have, but I don't see it recorded in the Bible. But I do see them dealing with Mount Me, Myself, and I, because you remember their mother, they come and took their mama with them too to Jesus. And their mama said, hey, I need something from you. What do you want? She said, that one of my sons here of thunder will sit on your left and the other will sit on your right hand when you come into your kingdom. Mount Me, Myself, and I. Mount Me, Myself, and I. Now, who else was with Jesus here? You know, Thomas was with Jesus. He wanted to. What do we call Thomas? Oh, everybody in the building perked up and said it. It was in unison. Wasn't it lovely? Doubting Thomas. I don't see in here where Thomas spoke to any mountains to be moved into the sea. Even if he did, I don't see it recorded in there. But we see everybody in here said, doubting Thomas. What's he dealing with? Mount Me, Myself, and I. Oh, if I can't see it, I know what it says. I know what the master said. But if I can't see it, I ain't gonna confess that. If I can't see it, I ain't gonna believe it. You'll never see it. Dealing with Mount Me, Myself, and I. You know who else was with the Lord here? Judas Iscariot. Did Judas deal with Mount Me, Myself, and I? Betrayed him over some coins. What if we betrayed the Lord in our life? How many times have we chose something else than yielding to the master in our life? But then we want to speak to every external mountain that comes our way because we got our faith cape on. Glory to God, I'll just speak to that thing. And I remember years ago, everybody wanted to be the confession police. Don't confess that. You need to confess this. You need to confess that. But if you go home with them, hello. Y'all real quiet up here now. Y'all is all excited about doubting Thomas. Y'all done fell off and I lost you. No. Y'all with me this morning, huh? This is the mountain, guys. This is the mountain. This is the mountain that we've got to conquer. This is greater than any Mount Everest or any of the mountains. This is the mountain. This is greater than the mountain of sickness. This is greater than the mountain of financial crisis. This is greater than the mountain of your rebellious children's attitude. This is the mountain. Years ago, I had fallen out of fellowship with the Lord, and I went wayward. And after being in the ministry for years and so forth and so on, but I got way, I mean, I was back on drugs. I was working as a bouncer. I used to be pretty good size, not tall, but, you know. And I was working at a bouncer, nightclubs, all kind of. But then the Lord loved me back to himself. He loved me back to himself. The goodness of God will lead you to repentance, man. Oh, my God. He loved me when nobody else wanted anything to do with me. My preacher friends didn't want nothing to do with me at all. The Bible says, you which are spiritual, restore such a one. There wasn't none of them very spiritual, I guess, because nobody wanted to restore me. But oh, I thank God he's not the quitting kind. He came after me, calling me, come on, come back to me. Anyway, he loved me back to himself. And as I'm engaging with the Lord and fellowshipping with the Lord again, and I'm endeavoring to try to, you know, get myself, you know, going again in the right direction. You know, I'm moving in the right, but I'm trying to find my way and navigate through all this mess that I had created and caused in my life. Did you hear what I just said? Because most of the messes are the ones that we create, that we cause from allowing things to take the greater place. Mount me, myself, and I. And I began to point and look at, and I'm saying, Lord, but they, and the Lord said, no, you. And I said, but this and that, and the Lord said, no, you. And I just keep pressing with it, you know, yeah, but they never, and the Lord would, he wouldn't change his mind. No, you. They had done these things. This one had, this one had, this one did say that, but you. We always want to change everybody else. Man, how many of you, you've known people in situations and you've got to answer for them. And you want to express it to them. Y'all ever been there? Y'all don't lie to me. You know where liars go, right? Washington, D.C. Now, they go somewhere else too, but they go there first. I'm just telling you. It's dangerous in there over there too. I've been to D.C. a few times, but oh, man. Yeah, but this mount me, myself, and I is the issue. Because the more I just press towards it, Lord, you know, just like Adam, that woman that you gave me, I'm going to blame that woman. If that don't work, I'm going to blame you, but I'm not taking the heat for this thing. It's got to be somebody else's fault. Y'all remember that song, Michael Jackson, Man in the Mirror? I'm starting with the man in the mirror. Don't worry, I'm not going to get up here and do a moonwalk or nothing. See, it started to move his legs a little bit. It's the man in the mirror. It's Mount Me, Myself, and I. He's the issue. He's the one in the way from you walking in victory. He's the one in your way from you really being able to do something about those external mountains that you're having to deal with because you're not first dealing with Mount Me, Myself, and I. And so, you know, we see Jesus telling them that and who was with him and who he was talking to. And you see that that's the thing that they had to deal with. But turn over with me to 1 Corinthians. Y'all doing all right this morning? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. What'd you say, 3:30? No, I'm teasing, guys. Little boy and his daddy, he was sitting next to his daddy in church, and you know, the minister kept saying every now and then, he'd say, in closing. Then a little while later, he'd say it again, in closing. Then a little bit later, he'd say it again, in closing. And after a little while, the little boy looked up at his dad, and he said, Daddy, what does that man mean when he keeps saying that? His daddy said, he don't mean a thing, son. It don't mean a thing at all. Am I going to do that to you this morning? Romans, or excuse me, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And in 1 Corinthians, I'll just share this with you. In 1 Corinthians, Paul begins to talk to them about spiritual gifts. And he talks a little bit about the different ministry gifts, apostle, prophet, evangelist. And he talks about the gifts of the Spirit, so forth, prophecy. And, you know, we won't work in the miracles and healings and all this stuff. And, man, people will get excited about those things. They want those things to be in. Why aren't these things in manifestation in these days, Lord? Y'all ever wondered it yourself? Why don't we see healings and so forth? Why don't we see this like in days of old and times of Smith Wigglesworth and so, don't look at me like that. I know you've wondered some about that. Can't even believe God to get rid of this hangnail or something over here, and we trying to wonder why. So Paul's talking to them about the spiritual gifts. And then over here, what we see in verse 31, chapter 12 and verse 31, and he tells them, but covet earnestly or desire earnestly the best gifts. And he's talking to, not that I individually, that we individually would desire the gift ourselves, but he's talking to the church, that the church as a body would desire earnestly these gifts. We want to see God's hand in manifestation in the earth. And God wants his hand to be in manifestation in the earth. But he tells them here, he says, but covet or desire earnestly the best gifts. And he says this, he says, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And yet I show unto you a more excellent way. What is this excellent way, this more excellent way? He says, we're talking about the stuff that enables you to move mountains over here. And then he says, but let me show you a more excellent way. And in chapter 13, you know, he was writing a letter. It wasn't written in chapter verse, but he just continues on. And in chapter 13 and verse 1, he says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gifts of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, I mean, boy, we just know, glory to God. And though I have all faith so that I could what? Move mountains. And have not love, I'm nothing. In verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and put it all on Facebook so everybody can see how wonderful I am. Come on now. And though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly. It seeks not its own, is not easily provoked. Uh-oh. Love thinketh no evil. Love rejoices not in iniquity, but love rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never fails. And one translation says, it never comes to an end. It'll last. It'll outlast everything. Why? Because the master is love. He was before all, and he will never not be. He will not fail. He cannot fail. And when we allow the love of God to work in our life, we cannot fail. The mountain that's before me is nothing if the love of God is made manifest to, in, and through me. Do you understand what I'm saying to you this morning? But we don't like to look at that. We just like to look at this external mountain and let me put on my faith cape and let me speak to this thing. And we want to do that without dealing with this other mountain. I thought you come to encourage us this morning, brother. I did. The thing is that we can do this, guys. Because, you know, over in Romans, and I don't have it in my notes, I don't think you want to turn there, but over in Romans, you know, people like to use this. You ever heard this term, well, we're only human, you know? How many of you ever said it? Don't raise your hand now. Well, I'm only human. Well, not if you're a Christian. You're not only human. You're not just human. He said, the greater one lives in me. I've been made a king and a priest under my God. I'm not only human. I've been seated in the heavenlies with Christ. Well, I hadn't. Well, you're not saved. Then you need to get saved. Well, I'm just not a spiritual so-and-so. What is that? You mean you just yield into the flesh more than so-and-so? If your spirit's been born again, your spirit's just as born again as Pastor Rick's, maybe more so. No, no. I told you we pick on each other. He said, take the gloves off, brother. They're off. I might be on the floor in a little bit. Hands laid on me. Hallelujah. This mount, me, myself, and I is the thing that we got to deal with, guys. We have the power of the living God on. You sang about it this morning. Where's my sister? I mean, right? Singing about it. Talked about it this morning. He lives in me, man. Well, if he lives in me, does he not reign? Yes. Does he reign in me? Paul said this. He talked about this struggle. He said, this thing that I know I should do, I find myself not doing. And the thing I don't want to, or the thing I don't want to do, I find myself doing. And the thing I should do, I find myself struggling. You remember him talking about that? And people want to use this. They see, even Paul did it. He was talking to those. He said, if you go read before, he said, I'm talking to those who understand the law. And he's talking about the weakness of the law. And he's talking about this struggle. And people want to use that as an excuse to go on. But he's talking to people that were under the law and knew the law about the weakness of the law. And he goes on and he said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then he said, I thank my God to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on in chapter 8 and he said, if we are, let's look at it. Let's just look at it. Romans chapter 8. Glory to God. I like victory. I love victory. I like to walk in victory. Brother Hagin said that he looked at somebody's office and he saw a little sign one time and it said, he said, I've been broke and I've been rich. He said, rich is better. Brother Sake said he liked that. He said, I've been sick and I've been healthy. Health is better. I've been defeated and I've been in victory. Being in victory is far better. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, you know, some people, you look at them, they just talk to them a little bit. They look like Eeyore on Winnie the Pooh. Well, it's a cloudy day. Spirit-filled Christian, huh? Oh, it's a cloudy day. I'd rather be more like Tigger. Ow! Even if I ain't bouncing on the outside, I'll be bouncing on the inside. Victory just bubbling up, rolling up. You know, people talk about being carried sickness and disease. You know, well, they're a carrier of that. They're a carrier of that. I'm a carrier of victory, glory to God. I'm a carrier of joy, glory to God. I'm a carrier, hallelujah, of love and peace. And when I go to Lowe's and get some lumber, I'm bringing victory and joy with me. And I got a smile on my face. And that girl, she looking like, Eeyore. Oh. And I just bring and rub some joy all up on that. And I don't go in there and say, hey, you need Jesus and blah, 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 blah. I just go over there with a smile on my face. And I just let some contagious joy just kind of flow and ooze out of me. Oh, glory to God. I'm a carrier. I'm a carrier. And the one I'm carrying on the inside of me in this earthen vessel is greater than any external mountain that I have ever faced and that I will ever face, glory to God. And I haven't always run well, but I'm purposing my life. I'm going to finish well, glory to God. I'm going out with my guns a-blazing, hallelujah. I have my boots on and I'm running with it, glory to God. Like Pastor Hagin said, I cannot be defeated. I will not quit, glory to God. I'm going to deal with Mount Me, myself, and I'm going to shut it on down, glory. He's crouching at the door, but I'm putting him at bay. How? Romans, I know y'all are there and I'm not. Romans chapter 8. Like Brother Hagin used to say, I don't know if I'm doing y'all any good, but I preach myself happy. Glory to God. She going to ride all the way back to Oklahoma with me bubbling on the other side. People, we go on road trips all over the country, man. I mean, Maine, Vermont, Utah. We just go all over, man. One year we drove this. I do all the driving, and she hangs onto that little handle on the other side. You know what I'm saying? And so we drive, and one year we drove over 8,000 miles. Glory to God, in 2 weeks, we just rolling, you know. And I mean, it always puzzles me. We get back, and people ask Laura, they say, well, did you have a good time on your trip? And I'm like, of course she did. She was with me. I enjoy myself. You understand what I'm saying? I like my company. And evidently, the Lord don't bother him at all either because he stays with me the whole time. He's there to protect Laura while she's hanging on to that handle. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. You know, Paul had just finished talking about all this stuff, and he says, but who shall deliver me of the body of this death? Actually, in chapter 7, verse 25, he says, I thank God through Christ our Lord. And he said, so with the mind I serve the law of God. He's talking to the people that know the law, that are under the law. But with the flesh, the law of sin. But then he says, there is therefore now no condemnation. Now, we like to quote that part now. There's no condemnation. Well, are you yielding to your mount, me, myself, and I? And having not having victory or what? Listen, because he said, there is therefore now no condemnation to those which are in Christ. Listen, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Well, if you're walking after the flesh. And so turn with me while we're there in Romans. Romans chapter 6. And in verse 12, Paul's writing this letter to the Romans, and he says, let not, or do not let sin, you do not let sin, therefore reign in your mortal body. I'm only human. Paul said, hey, you only human, don't let sin reign in your only human body. Uh-oh. Don't let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. In verse 13, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves to, you are servants to obey? Yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey. He said, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Yieldedness is something I want to talk to you about real quick. Yieldedness. How do I overcome this, and how do I walk in that more excellent way and overcome Mount Me, myself, and I? It's yieldedness, and it's the power of surrender. And so many times I see Christians, and I've been there myself so many times in life, where the thing that I'm yielding to is not the thing that I'm surrendering to is not the Spirit of God and the leading of the Spirit of God. It's not to the Word of God. But it's to this me, myself, and I that's trying to react to all these external mountains that are coming against me. Y'all following me, right? And so the thing is that the grace of God, I wrote this before sometime years ago, I don't know, but I said, even as the law of lift it enables an airplane to overcome the law of gravity. There's the law of gravity, right? You don't believe me? Get on the edge of that building, jump off and see what happens. Well, how does the plane fly? Because there's another law. And the law of lift allows it to overcome the law of gravity. Even so, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ allows me to overcome the law of sin and death. But only if I'm yielded. Only if I'm surrendered. And we don't like that. This is my life, you know. I say, I ain't never said that, David, but maybe you thought it before. A bunch. This is my life, you know. I just want to be happy. I just want this. I just want, I just want. Mount me, myself, and I. No, he said, Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things that you need will be added unto you. Oh, listen, he's not just talking about food and clothes and so forth. The victory that you need over mountains, it's there. But we're so busy not surrendering and seeking first the kingdom and not surrendering to him, and we're just pushing forward with Mount Me, Myself, and I. I just said it this morning, not by might, not by power. You said it, but by the Spirit of the Lord. To the degree that I'm yielded to the Master. To the degree that I'm yielded to the Spirit of God. To the degree that I'm yielded to the Word of the Master. Is the degree that I'm going to be able to do these other things. How come I just can't get over this hump? How many of you ever go, I just need a breakthrough in my life? Y'all ever thought that or said that or heard somebody? Maybe it's not you because you got that faith cape on all the time. But you hear somebody say, I just need a breakthrough here. Many people want a breakthrough, but not many people want to break through. How many of you ever thought this? Again, I'm trying to get you to raise your hand. I know every one of you has thought these things before. We just need a change. I just need a change. Just, there needs to be something changed here. Yeah, you. I told you I come to encourage you this morning. I come to give you something. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. You! Change is the thing that we like the least in us. We want everybody else to change. We want all the circumstances, situations to change. But change me? Oh, why would I change this perfect specimen? Don't ask my spouse. Don't. Why would I need to change? You know, one of the things that, Mount Me, I'll tell off on myself. One of the things that through the years I've had to deal with, I live in South, there's Interstate 10 runs across where I'm from. And we as much as we love to travel, road trips and so forth, all over the man, I do not like going on Interstate 10. I don't care where they're from. When they hit Interstate 10, they become an idiot. Hello? And I mean, they just don't know what drive. Get over, dopey. And I mean, I'd be on the horn. Move, get in the right lane, let me pass. If you don't want to drive 95, get out of my way. Come on now, y'all don't look at me so holy. And I remember one time, and I'd get so frustrated and I'd lose my peace, and boy, I'd lose my victory. It was going way back there on the road. And I remember one time my lovely bride spoke up and she said, "Why don't you just go around them?" I said, "Because they're supposed to move." But I remember one day I'm going and we're driving along and I wanted them to move. I remembered my lovely wife's voice and the Holy Spirit just prodded me along. "Why don't you just go around them?" And I don't know, it just seemed to me like there was a dummy added in on the end of that. I don't know, "Why don't you just go around them, dummy?" But I just went around them on the right side and I got around them and I didn't do any motions at them or nothing. I just went around and you know what? I still had peace. I still had joy. And I had gotten around them. I say, "Man, now you just walk in victory all the time." No, because on the way up here, yesterday, they had one, and it was a truck driver, and he got over there, and I'm just being cool, you know, like I normally am, you know, and I'm cruising along, and I mean, he gets over there, and I'm like wanting him to, you know, he get over there, and there's another truck over here, and then he's just going to sit there, you know. Oh, and I know them trucks, if you've ever driven anything, a big truck or a truck with a big trailer, they got governors on them. You can only go so fast, and it takes a while to get around them. But, I mean, at least try. And I'm getting a little frustrated. And I'm like, I flash my lights a little bit, just letting them know, "Hey, I'm back here, you know." And so I see him roll down his window and look in the mirror. And I'm like, and he starts making signs. And so, you know, Mount Me, Myself, and I wants to go, "Pull it over. I believe in God, guts, and guns. Pull it over." Crouching at your door. And so, and then finally, he did get around. He did, and I go around, and I didn't tell him, "Get off, let's do this." I just eased on, and I told him, I said, "I'm not mad, you know, because Laura, she'll look over there just checking every now and then, you know, well, is the old man, which cape you got on today?" I said, "I'm cool, I ain't mad." She's like, I know. And I'm like, I don't know if she's real confident about it, but. and you know, I go on her, and I said, "You know, I didn't make an A on that one." And she said, "Yeah, would you?" She said, "Like you made a B plus." I said, "No, I did probably like a D plus or a C minus or something, you know." Mount Me, Myself, and I is a mountain that you've got to keep in check all the time. What time did you say? Come on now, don't. I want to just give you a couple things real quick. This is not a one time and done, guys. Paul said, "I die daily. I die daily. I have to think about the fact where I was when he picked me back up, when nobody wanted me and nobody loved me, and he still did. And I want to please him. And I know that the path to victory is yieldedness. It's complete surrender to him. People want to know the will of God for their life. How many of you want to know the will? I just want to know what the will of God. Guys that are called to preach and ladies called to preach, they just want to know. Hey, I want to know, am I called to be an apostle? Am I called to be a pastor? Am I called? Just want, I'm going to tell you what the will of God is for your life. Complete and utter surrender. Sometimes he just wants you to go talk to somebody at the well. Sometimes he just wants you to be a doorman in the house of the king. Yeah. Say, "David, what are you called to do?" "I'm a shim. I'm a wedge, a little piece of wood that at one time men thought kind of ornate and useful and valuable to help them. And they they took that piece of wood and it wasn't yet a wedge. They took that piece of wood and they put it in the place, and it was helpful to them, and they used it, and they put it in different spots, and it was, yes, it was wonderful. But then that little piece of wood fell from that spot. And men stepped on it. And sometimes it got trampled on, kicked around in the dust and mud and the wind and the rain. And men had no more use for it whatsoever. But the master came along. And he looked down and he noticed the piece of wood laying in the dirt. And he said, I have use for you. And he reached down and he picked up the piece of wood out of the mud, pulled it up. And he took it home with him. And he dusted it off and wiped all the mud off and he cleaned it up and he began to shape it and fashion it into a little wedge. Now, I'm a carpenter by trade. And you take a wedge and you put it behind, there's some behind the trim of this door. You don't see it. And he put that wedge in there to help hold that door jamb in place and covered it with door trim, door casing that was ornate. Nobody ever sees the little shim, but it's doing its job. It doesn't need to be seen. It just wants to be wrapped in His glory. Are you with me today? It's yieldedness, guys. It's a more excellent way. It's the more excellent way. The path to victory over every external mountain that you will ever face in your life is to begin to take one step and another step and another step of dealing with Mount Me, Myself, and I. And sometimes Mount Me, Myself, and I seems like this insurmountable mountain. How do I get there? Because of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, I take steps of yieldedness to Him. And I just keep taking and putting one foot in front of the other and step, and I go around that truck when I want them to go into the ditch or somewhere else. And I look, do I want to lose my peace here? No. What? How do I yield to the master in this? I yield to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. I yield to the law of love, and I move forward one step at a time, and until I'm making ground of victory in my life. And look, Paul said in Acts chapter 20 and 22 through 24, he said, I don't know what befalls me in each of these towns that the Lord sent me, that I'm going into. I don't know exactly what's going to come my way, what's going to befall me, except that the Spirit of God bears witness with me that bonds and afflictions await me. But then he said this, but none of these things move me. I don't know what befalls me, but there's mountains out there. But none of these things move me. And I look at my life and I gauge my life so much by this. I ask this question to gauge whether how I'm doing in growth and so forth in the Lord. What moves me? What still moves me? Or what doesn't move me that used to move me? And when I'm yielding to the master and things don't move me, I continue walking in peace and joy and victory in my life. But when I yield to Mount Me, Myself, and I, not so much. See, the external mountain still may be there, but the victory is on the inside and it's abiding if I'm yielded to the master. I'm going to share this one thing with you. You can close everything you got. Somebody said, yeah, I wish you would. Close your mouth. Y'all get anything out of this so far this morning? There were these two little children. They were playing at staying at their grandparents' house, and they were playing at their grandparents' house, and they just running around the house, and their grandpa was in the back bedroom, and he was sleeping, taking a nap, like grandparents do sometime. Right? We do. And so he's in the back taking a nap, and they went into the kitchen and they found some Limburger cheese, and Limburger cheese stinks. And they went in the papa's room there and they rubbed a little Limburger cheese on on the old boy's mustache. And they waited and watched a minute and nothing happened. You know, he's still sleeping. So they just went on through the house and played, you know, went out into the yard or whatever. And so a little bit later, Grandpa wakes up and he starts sniffing. He said, "It stinks in this room." Puzzled looking, and he gets up and he goes out into the hall and he said, "It stinks in the hall too." He walked over into the living room. He said, "It stinks here." Went through the kitchen. "It stinks here." He went to the front door and he opened the door and he sticks his head out and he said, "The whole world stinks." It's just your upper lip. It's about me, myself, and I that stinks. But through the grace of God, through His mercy, through how can I walk in love to everybody else? And John says, this is that the love that we've known and believed, the love that God has to us. Man, when you understand the love that He has for you, when you understand how great, when you don't even love yourself, how great is the Master's love for you? Come on, Pastor Rick. Come on. Praise you, Lord Jesus.